Come stop and take a trip down on my block. When you see hidden potential, young minds sharper than pencil. And ain't afraid to speak their mind if they got something against you. We standing with you, we tackle issues like civic pride. Hate will cease to exist, let's put our differences aside. From my side to your side, from Dutch Town to South Side. From Penrose to North Side, from Benton Park to Old North. The West End to West Side, we bless when we step out. We stand down, rise up, stand together, why?
This is Stitchcast Studio, produced by St. Louis Story Stitchers in St. Louis, Missouri.
This is episode 21, Popo in Georgia. Youth leaders discuss feelings about the current state of protesting, policing, and the politics of it all through a parody called Popo in Georgia. Recorded live in our very own Zoom room, August 28th, 2020.
They say who that, but you already knew that. That be them Story Stitchers. Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers.
Hello, and welcome back to Channel 11 News, news you can't rely on. Our top story this evening is the unrest in the Smith household over the family dog's brutal attack upon the family cat. We go live to our man on the scene.
It is chaos in the halls of the Smith house as the unrest reaches boiling point. There is writing on the wall in what looks like crayon and is not washable, saying bad dog. And the chanting can be heard throughout the entire house. Last week, the family dog once again went after the family cat, and this time is a little worse. It injured it. The black cat named Georgie is currently in the vet, and talk about what to do with the dog is rampant. We go live to someone taking part in the protest right now.
The dog is out of control. This isn't the first time he attacked Georgie, and it certainly won't be his last if we don't make changes. I, for one, believe in reducing the room Popo. That's the name of the dog, if you aren't already aware. The teens of the house are calling for getting rid of Popo altogether, but I don't think we have to go that far. I just think that something has to be done to stop these attacks.
And what is your response to the vandal and violent claims? Some in your household are calling your movement out over vandalism and messing up the house.
Look, the younger kids are taking advantage of the traction. We have to do what they wanted. They have wanted to color on the walls and make a mess already. And the protests have just been an opportunity for them to get away with it. They are not affiliated with our movement, which has remained peaceful. We just want change here for Georgie.
Thank you very much for your time. Back to you at the station.
Wow, that is crazy. Now, we currently have an interview with someone who is against the protests against Popo. Here it is now.
Hi, Amanda here, and I'm here with Miss Shaniqua. Now, you're against the protest over how Popo attacked Georgie. Do you mind telling us a little bit about that?
Yes, for one, you have to understand that Popo is a dog. They naturally have biological training to attack cats. I think more training to undo this could be in order, but these demands are ridiculous. Keeping out unwanted animals is our dog's job. We need him for the squirrels or possums that he chases away. Furthermore, the protests have made the house completely a mess, with protesters drawing on the wall and tossing couch pillows every which way. Now, some of the protesters said that these doings are another group, but obviously it's a result of the protests, and none of the protesters have tried to stop it. I think that what they are asking for comes from a good place, but I think a different way of looking at it may be in order to get more reasonable solutions.
Yes, I totally agree. And thank you very much for coming in, Ms. Shaniqua. Now back to you at the station.
Wonderful. Now, next up, we currently have an interview, some Q&As with people who created and worked on a news skit about current events or something. We go live to that now.
Hey everybody, it's your girl Lamira. Here today with a very unique group of youth leaders. And we're gonna kind of talk to you all about what you just heard, you know, the parody that we just did for you all. And so stay tuned and let's get right into it. So first things first, I just wanna say thank you all for, you know, coming up with this great idea for a podcast and for you writing a script, you know, and everybody willing to participate and just kind of be a part of it. So the first thing I wanna know, you know, what was the creation process of this parody? One, how did you all come up with the idea to even make a parody instead of just a traditional podcast? And two, what was it like actually making it? Like, what are some of the things you all had to do in order to make it and to actually, you know, learn your part?
When it comes to the creation process, a lot of it came from just watching real world events and newscasts and stuff, picking the general message. Obviously, you had to change some stuff to, you know, make it a proper parody and stuff. And obviously, there are things that we had to exaggerate and be exaggerated and whatnot to make it fit the criteria. But, you know, creating it, I knew that you know, something funny is always nice. Something new and interesting was nice. And so taking real world stuff, choosing what to exaggerate to what to pick while still getting the overall message across, all went into the process. Once I, you know, had the idea of what to do, I had the like things that I'm working with. It was all just basically taking that and then putting it into the story.
Dope. And Miss Carter, could you tell me a little bit about how you all kind of came up with the idea to even do a parody? Because I believe it was the very first week you all were like, yeah, we want to do this. Can you kind of tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think the parody was a good idea because it'll make it like more fun and make it like interesting for everybody to hear like a funny little parody and make people laugh. Even when people don't have like good days, it'd be like a podcast to listen to.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. About how long did it take to come up with the script? Because it was a pretty well thought out, pretty humorous, but serious at the same time. You know, how long did that, you know, take?
Actually, it took like a couple of days to like do the research for like pre-making the script. But once I, you know, had all the research to make the script, I saw the interviews, I knew kind of what I was wanting to do. Actually writing out the script took maybe an hour or two of just getting the first draft done, figuring out what worked, what didn't work, editing the spelling stuff, and sending it. The real hard part was really just coming up with what the specific thing was going to be about, researching the real world equivalents and stuff so I knew what to exaggerate and whatnot. Once I had all the pre-stuff done, which took me about a day or two, actually writing the script itself only took me like an hour or two.
Wow, that's great. And how long did it take everybody to like, you know, read over their script and actually finally get comfortable with your part?
It didn't like take like long. It like took like maybe like a couple, I think like twice maybe, just to get comfortable with it.
Dope. Yeah, I could say the same. It was pretty fluid script. Not too many bumps in the road. So yeah, I appreciate that too, for how, you know, simple it was too. Sometimes less is more. So now, could somebody tell me a little bit about the importance of their role? You know, whether it was just in the parody or like the position that your role actually holds in society today and in similar situations, like what was the importance of your role or what is the importance of your role?
Okay, so I'm gonna say that because I was like the protester and it kind of would remind me of like the protest that we had like in the past with the whole George Floyd thing. Yeah. And it's been like a lot of people have been like protesting with the whole police officer killing him. So
yeah,
and this one like kind of resembles to it because they're protesting about the dog injuring the cat. So
and Ms. Shaniqua, could you kind of tell me a little bit about, you know, because it sounded like you took a more, your role was a more sophisticated, you know, let's think about all the possibilities type of role. So could you kind of tell me, you know, how that kind of fits in today's society, how you kind of see that happening in real life?
That was a question. Okay. So my role for the script, I was basically, I don't know, I won't say the middle man, but I would just say like, I was kind of seeing both sides of the story.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like explaining both parts. I wasn't really picking a side, but I was just giving you reasonings of like the good and the bad. Mm-hmm. And like how both of them could be a good solution, just have to like change, tweak different things in order for them to like, you know, work together in a way. So that's kind of what I was doing, just kind of giving them information about it and, you know, teaching them a little couple stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's always important to have those type of people, you know, who could see. They said a person that could stand on the edge of a coin and see both the heads and the tail side, just to kind of bring bring both sides, both people together, you know, to try to find some middle ground, some type of solution. And I know you all talked a little bit too about the George Floyd protests and just really everything going on right now. And I think, you know, the people listening to this will probably, I probably know what their answer would be. But for you all, on a scale of 1 to 10, like how much does this relate to today's time and problems and situations on a scale of 1 to 10? 1 being it doesn't relate at all, and 10 meaning it's dead on.
I would personally say a good 8 at least, because I mean, obviously there was some stuff that had to be changed and underplayed and whatnot. It wasn't a perfect example due to it being a parody and not being able to, you know, be super on the nose about everything.
Yeah.
But still much more relevant than I was really hoping for it to be when I created it, after most of the protests had overall died down. And just recently, the protests have come up over the most recent shooting that happened in Wisconsin. And so it's one of those things that I hope does not have to stay relevant, and I hope does not have to relate so highly to current times. But because of the situations that not only have happened, but at this rate might continue to happen, I think that it's currently really relevant.
Definitely, definitely.
I'm gonna say 10. Because it's the skit itself, like, it tells you a lot of details. And I know it's about like a dog and cats and everything, like the differences between it. But if you see like what's happening in today's time and everything, just with the police and like the Black people and themselves, and like when they say like protests, if you like put the cat and the dog in another person's shoe, it's like, it's kind of speaking a story like about like what's happening now. So
yeah,
I say a 10 because it's like, it's speaking real highly, but it's just in a script form. I don't know, we did like, but it's like, it really speaks. So
yeah,
it's definitely a different way of seeing it.
I would give it a 10 because like it was fun. It was like, because we need like something like a fun little podcast, because all podcasts don't have to be real serious. But still, even the script that we did resembles to like something that did happen, but not like in a sad way.
Yeah.
But it told a story.
Exactly. Exactly. It's just like how, you know, we have like a lot of people getting messages to, you know, the public through cartoons, you know, because they can't do it with real life people and real life action. So they have to do it through a cartoon series or something like that. I kind of want to get into more of the, you know, real world stuff now, because we're talking a lot about the protest. And I talked about how Shaniqua's part was, you know, the middleman trying to be reasonable. And even the protester part too, you know, they were saying, we're trying to be peaceful. It's the kids. they're trying to take advantage of, you know, the situation and mark on the walls with crayon, you know? So do you all think, or do you all even have hope that we'll find reasonable solutions for the problems that our society is currently facing? You know, and I think people would love to hear this from you all, because we our generation is the future, you know, and how we perceive these things is very important. So do you all see any hope that we'll have find some reasonable solutions for the problems that we face in our society now?
I 100% believe that there is hope for us to find solutions that that work and leave everybody happy. I think that right now the real problem is simply that everything's highly politicized, and that leads to people choosing not necessarily what they think is right, but what their party aligns in. And due to that, it's hard to find a middle ground that might even be better than what we're currently asking for, because people aren't looking for really a solution. They're looking for what best aligns with their political party. And so due to that, I feel like, especially like right now, like the motion is very high, that the chances of people actually stopping and talking to each other instead of yelling at each other, trying to get each other to see only their point instead of actually, you know, engaging with people. But once everything starts to, you know, die down emotionally to the point where not everyone's so highly charged, I firmly believe that there are lots of solutions out there that everyone should be happy with. And at the very least, not everyone, but a large majority of people that can 100% work. But the problem right now is that people are very politicized, yeah. And that also emotions are so high that sometimes it's hard to think clearly because, you know, you're just so engaged and focused that it's hard to think, I don't know if this is necessarily the best way of going about things.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. Emotions are very, very high on both sides, you know, and not even just from a political party standpoint, just from a classism type of thing. So yeah, I definitely understand that things are pretty tense right now. And talking it out, a lot of people are getting tired of trying to do that. Anybody else have anything for that? You all think we could come to some reasonable solutions for today's problems in our society?
I was gonna say, yes, definitely. I think things can change and like turn around. The hope part, I mean, a lot of people can have hope and it really just depends. Like, I mean, okay, so like hope, anybody can have hope. Like that's not like a problem. Like I can have hope that, you know, I'm gonna get up and like do my schoolwork. They're like, you know, just different things. Like I can have hope that the food will turn out right for dinner, you know, just like hope. But it's like, you gotta really take that leap of faith, you know? It's different than like just always hoping you're gonna do this and not actually taking a stand. And it's like, I mean, it could be hard. It's like, it is hard because like we see how today times is, we see like past years been happening centuries before this and like everything just continue to be the same, but worse, you know, just constantly getting worse. And it's like, this is our generation now, you know? So it's like, we have to be the ones making the stand. Like we just can't try to keep putting it on other people older than us or younger than us, because we're going to be still living in today's time as well. So in order for this to be changed, like we have to step forward and actually do it. And it could be still hard and like intimidated because you don't know what the outcome is still going to be. But as long as you hold into faith and like rock out with it, you'd be good. Like you're going to be times you're going to fail in the process of doing this, but you just got to keep looking to the light.
Hey everybody, it's time right now for our Pick the City Up art interlude. Titled Politician. Copyright held by the artist, a member of Stitcher's Youth Council. Recording by St. Louis Story Stitchers.
I'm not a politician. I'm an inner city kid. We don't love where I'm from, but I remember when we did. No love and no trust is just the way I gotta live, and the way that I gotta live is the way that can get me killed. It's crazy how your people wanna kill me. My people wanna kill me. So I gotta stay aggressive, because I'll never let them kill me. 19 years in hell, the new me is the real me. Ain't never felt my pain, so ain't no way that you can feel me. My freedom got a price and I refuse to let them deal me. Gotta stay aligned, can't let them move me, can't let them tilt me. It's snakes up in the grass, I'm down and dirty, getting filthy, cause these snakes can never murder me. My soul is for eternity, it's burglary how they take my name. I refuse to medicate to go and ease the pain. I'm in the streets all on my own, that's why I need the name. And that's my rocks, that's the reason I won't lead a game. My sweater stuff can never change, my role model vision getting weak now. Need to see a brother that the system couldn't keep down. People around the corner, now you caught up in these streets now. But to pick somebody up, then that means you gotta reach down, and they telling me to preach now. These ain't the words of the wise, these the words of I seen it with my eyes. A lot of violence, a lot of people losing lives, cause everybody got a gun and everybody's gotta die. They selling me a dream called freedom, deleting us as people. They lie when they say slavery was illegal. They flood my neighborhood with guns and drugs and all the other modern evils, and they hate to see us recognized as people. America, I don't need you.
So yeah, and one of my last questions on this topic is really how did the protest and the events leading up to the protest really affect you all individually? You know, how did you all kind of respond or react to all the things that were going on or that are still going on today?
I felt like really disappointed and very upset because effectively nobody really changed. I mean, I was gonna say everybody is like that, but I'm just saying like some people have not changed. And
you all are hearing this from Generation Z, you know, disappointment, you know, and who's next?
I'm gonna be honest, for the first wave of protests, I kind of felt numb because at this point it's like, it's another one. It's the same story that we hear seemingly once every year. And so at first I was numb because, you know, it seemed like the same old fake. I wasn't getting anything different out of it. I mean, like, obviously I thought it was bad and horrible that it had to happen, but I kind of just felt numb about it. But then these most recent things that happened in Wisconsin happened, and that's when I got really mad because I can handle one super awful thing that sparks protests happening because that's normal, but it feels feels like it's happening more and more to people that really should not, it should not happen. The whole point of like police using deadly force is for people with weapons who are not complying. And the past two people this year that have sparked protests have either not have weapons or were complying, and they still ended up dead. And so I was done feeling numb at that point, and now I'm just mad that nothing's getting done, because I keep hearing, well, there's still stuff that's happening and stuff, but obviously if it's twice in not even a full year, it's hard to think about because of quarantine. But like the whole George Floyd death was only a couple months ago.
Exactly.
And so
for that we had Ahmaud Arbery.
Exactly, exactly. All of this is happening in such a short time span that it's hard to stay numb. It's easy to stay numb about it when it's just one thing that you got to hold out for. But when it's multiple things back to back, you have to take a stand of some sort, the way that I see it. It's okay maybe if you feel numb because it's like, well, this is what always happens. But obviously right now it's not what always happened, because it's happening more often than it has in the past. You know, at the very least, it's more often that like we're seeing it in the limelight. It's on like full display.
So people can't be numb to it, you know. It's like, and I think that's for a lot of people too, you know. When things first started happening, I believe a lot of people were numb to it and weren't really registering it. Like, there were a lot of people that were protesting and that were fired up, but I do believe there were still a good number of people who were just kind of like you said, like, it's another one, like, you know, kind of like not very hopeful. And then, like you said, when things start to happen back to back, it forces you to get out of that perception of, oh, it's another one, you know. And if it doesn't force you to, then, you know, that's a whole nother story. But I like how you said that, like, it just really kind of, like, you have to wake up in situations like these when you see it back to back. Two, that was supposed to be my last question, but I wanted to ask, you know, because you all have similar answers. Like, you started off with, you know, disappointment. You know, do you all see the protests or think protests or anything that people are doing to bring change will help bring change?
I personally believe that the protests can bring change. I just don't think the protests as they are, the way that I see it right now, the protests are not super unified and, you know, organized. As in, like, If you say like the Black Lives Matter movement, you don't really have a living face to look to. And even then, that the Black Lives Matter movement doesn't even encapsulate all the protests. All the protesters are people who believe similar things, doing kind of their own thing. I think that if we really want change, we're going to have to start unifying, find like-minded individuals who can, you know, start organizing. And once we actually, you know, have a coherent group with a specific, like, set of goals, because, like, right now I think that a lot of the problem is that there's a lot of talk about, you know, what we want the ends to be, but there's a whole bunch of different people saying on what the means for that are. And that leads to, if you got five people and three of them all want the same ends, but they all have different means, well, it's not going to happen because they won't agree. Versus if we can all start to unify around, okay, this is specifically what we want. We have a specific leader. We are obviously one unified group that not only will stop people from complaining about the protests, because we have an obvious group that we're a part of, and so we'll be able to defund anyone who's claiming these are violent protests. But also, with a coherent group and goal in mind, I believe that it will much better fast track it. Instead of just calling for change and hoping that it gets done, we are asking for specific things as a specific group.
Yeah, that's dope. I believe the same thing too. You know, more unity is needed, and more strategy and planning, you know, definitely is needed. But I would say kudos to the people who have, you know, led peaceful protests within the last, what is it, probably 7-8 months, I think it's been. So kudos to everybody, you know, out there who's listening, who's, you know, been able to organize a peaceful protest to fight for justice. And you all that's listening, that was just a little bit about, you know, kind of the influence for the parody and how it all came about and, you know, kind of how we were feeling. And like one of you said earlier, you know, we wanted to bring it to you all in a way that wasn't, you know, the traditional way of you hearing it. It's kind of sad and, you know, feel like you're hearing a song on repeat. Right? We wanted to give you all something fresh, something new. So I do want to ask you all pretty much the last question, but how has this podcast empowered you to be more vocal and express more how you feel, you know, to the public and not to sit back and be quiet? Like, has it even inspired you to do that at all? And if so, kind of tell us, you know, how that has came about.
It's definitely changed me because I used to be real quiet. I used to not really tell people how I feel about things. And it kind of inspired me to be more open to people because I used to not tell people about how I feel.
Yeah.
But it definitely inspired me, and I think I'll probably do that more.
I've always been one for talking. If you ask anybody who's known me, they'll tell you that I never have had a problem with talking. But what this podcast is, knowledge is, which really helped me, is just where to find the platform to do the talking, because I had no idea. And you can have great ideas, you can have a great speech, you can have wonderful abilities, and you can have the guts to go out, state your opinion, and talk, and put yourself out there. But all of that means nothing if you don't have a platform on which to express your ideas. And so this has really enabled me to just, I know now where I can go to express those ideas and what platform I can to do my, you know, to basically pursue my dreams.
Yeah, definitely. And this is what I'm gonna wrap up with. Why is it important to you all for youth voices to be heard? You know, especially to people who may be listening to this, who never even thought about listening to a youth-led podcast or actually sitting down and listening to a youth talk about, you know, today's time and possible solutions that we have. Why do you all feel or believe that it's important for youth voices to be heard and to be elevated?
I feel like it's a good thing because not a lot of people likes to listen to other people, and it gets on my nerves a lot. And this is this makes me feel much like feel better because now, you know, some of my people, my family, all my friends listen to me. So I feel like this is the only way how other people can understand us and how we feel about things.
I personally think that having youth-led podcasts was good for, you know, for one, I want to point out that, you know, you can never have too many new ideas. Getting different points of view is always helpful. And when it comes down to it, you generally have a different point of view than those older. And I mean, obviously you should always like fact check and cross-reference and whatnot, your sources and stuff, but hearing different points of view can definitely widen your horizon to see more, you know, different solutions, different ways of seeing it. It could change your mind if you're like looking for it, because just listening to the same type of people with the same type of beliefs talk about the same type of stuff doesn't do anything. And even when it comes down to like views across the political spectrum, you can have an adult and a younger like teen who would be considered like the same party politically, but would still have widely different views, because it's not just politics, it's not just X, Y, Z. Age also plays a major role in how processes and what we see and what we care about. So by, you know, listening to youth podcasts and stuff allows you to just see a different worldview.
Yeah, definitely a different worldview. Ms. Shaniqua, do you mind closing us out with your answer for that question?
So it's really, really important just for young people to be heard. You know, only because I would say that there's a lot of reasons, but me personally, I am not a person, like, I'm outgoing when you get to know me, but I do not like talking in like groups or just stuff like that. I do not. So just like saying all that, like I will be like the one not really speaking up a lot, and I will have good ideas and just like I'll be like saying like I will have like really good ideas saying it, but I will just not say it and then like just let it go by. And like the people like just like right now what she was doing, like asking the questions. I did not want to say nothing, but like I'm just saying like I'm not really outspoken like that. But I do have good ideas and I can be outspoken when it comes to like people I know. Mm-hmm. So I need to get out of that box and everything. So like it is important for young people because they can have like, you know, good ideas or just like you just need to be heard in general. It doesn't have to be a good idea. It's just things that they're going through. They want to relate with other people and just like small stuff that they think is important to them, which is important. They didn't just want someone else they can talk to and stuff like that. So it is important.
Yeah.
Because if not, then they'll start being distanced and no one wants that to happen, you know? Yeah. So it's important for them to be heard because nobody wants to young people distance and away from the crowd or like just away from whoever they're close with just because like they're not accepting them or like not listening to what they're trying to say or hearing them out. Because no idea is a bad idea. So it's important. Yeah, it is important.
Yeah, definitely. I love that because all of you all started making me just think of the word empowerment, you know. I definitely believe, you know, when you give youth a safe space to express their ideas and opinions and, you know, come up with questions and topics, you know, that they feel will be good ideas. Like you said, no idea is a bad idea. And I just think it empowers and liberates the youth. It helps us to understand our role in society a little bit better, you know, and it also helps us to, you know, want to speak out more and want to be the change that everybody says we're supposed to be, you know? So definitely. Well, I want to say thank you to everybody who participated in the Q&A and the recording of the parody. Shouts out to DJ Antique on the ones and twos, holding it down. And if you all want to hear more from Story Stitchers and the very well-educated and outspoken youth that we work with on a regular, definitely go to our website at storystitchers.org and stay up to date with all podcast recordings, you know, all the other good stuff we have coming up. But yeah, thanks again, everybody, for, you know, hopping on, being dedicated and committed. Yeah, that's all I got, y'all.
Thank you for listening. And last but not least, we want to give a very special shout out to the StitchCast Studio sponsors, the City of St. Louis Youth at Risk Crime Prevention Grant of 2020, Stewart Family Foundation, and Missouri Foundation for Health. To learn more, visit storystitchers.org.
They say who that, but you already knew that. That be them Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers.